From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Potbread. Where have you been if you've missed all of that? Just to recap on one important thing, we are looking for help in Slovakia for a gentleman called Freddie Venables who's starting an Alzheimer's association. He's looking for Slovak people that can either translate or dub some content about the disease into Slovak from English. If you can help him in any way, please get in touch via your own station, which will probably be studio at, or via studio at rti.fm, and we'll put you in touch with young Freddie. We're going back to India again.
Hello, I love India.
Ah, surprising. And the headline reads, Marriage Down the Toilet. A newlywed woman in a village in the Indian state of... Lee?
In the Indian state of Lee, Madhya Pradesh.
Thank you. Has won her struggle to have a toilet at her husband's home. She left 2 days after getting married last May because the house has no toilet. Well, I don't blame her either.
Good for her.
I don't trust this as a story at all. This is Mother India's Mother Pious Earth working its glory again.
Is it?
Here we have, yeah. Because guess what? Yeah, the terrible thing is that in India, there are the sanitary ware is not something that is available to everybody. And it's in a way, it's a tragedy, but also it is a way of life over there and has been forever. People ablute on the streets in India, as they do in many other parts of the world. Mm-hmm. It is not something that is seen as shameful. But okay, this woman...
Just a minute, we're not talking about shame here. This is just amazing. Just because it's a way of life, we want tourists to go along and have a look at it.
Exactly.
Because how quaint, and we don't want them to change. Well, this is about disease, and this is about dying children, and this is about people, low-caste people...
She's wanting to better herself.
To sort of clear other people's excrement, and nobody else will do it. I mean, it's just shocking. And if the rest of us can sort of raise ourselves up, then I think that we ought to be very pleased that these people can do it. And
well,
I don't think just
this is not a very good simile, but if you think about it, we had a closed down RTI. We decided not to give up. We changed it all around. And we upped the stakes a bit. So why can't she do the same thing with a toilet?
Exactly, that's what she's done.
Because you've not read the bloody story.
I have. Don't you swear what? Either, you naughty bunny.
Yeah, I'm only allowed to do that.
Yeah.
excuse me. I know exactly what the situation is out over there. But what amazes me is that this woman left her husband... for two days to force him to put a toilet in, which is fine. I didn't say anything about that being wrong at all. But they then got $10,000 for doing it off an NGO.
Yeah.
Well, did they not know? Do you think that $10,000 just came as a bonk on the head out of the blue? Or do you think that might have been part of it? $10,000.
Oh, you're so cynical, Mr. Banks.
Oh, where did this $10,000 come out and find this?
Well, I hope the money's gone into the entire village now.
Well, exactly.
I mean, it's a shocking business. I mean, there is another story that I think maybe we're not dealing with, but I mean, this business of painting Calcutta blue. What are they going on about, these people, when they've got these basic toilet problems and all they want to do is paint their cities in gaudy colours?
Yeah, ridiculous.
They may as well paint them in brown and go on the blanket,
the idea of painting Calcutta blue is a brilliant idea.
Yeah, right.
It opens the whole of Calcutta up to the sky. It makes,
Proud. Lee Banks has a new job, boys and girls. He's going to be an art critic. Can't you tell by his vocabulary now?
It's nothing to do with my vocabulary.
It's just such an insult to the colour blue.
Let's move on. A small plane which violated presidential airspace in Los Angeles, I love it, was found carrying 18 kilos, which is 40 pounds, of marijuana.
I think it's so sad. The poor lad who was doing a good around his unlawful business, keeping himself to himself, flying around, And who does he bump into in the middle of
President
there?
Obama.
How do you know it wasn't the president's personal stash that's just being bought separately?
Well, I think it's probably...
should phone up and ask his press office whether that's right or not.
Exactly. New doubts are cast over the solution to the Greek debt crisis and what it will mean to not only Europe, but also the US. What's the latest, Mark?
The Greek debt crisis. Well, I understand that everybody's getting a bit blasé about it and saying that maybe it's not going to mean an awful lot if Greece does leave the euro and sort of sets up on their own. They reckon that now that everybody else has sort of taken such amazing sort of precautionary steps and that in fact we could even stand more than just Greece, maybe even Spain and maybe even Italy leaving the eurozone. I really don't know about it myself. I have to say that the situation in Greece is really dire. I mean, I'm reading of some shocking things which are happening now.
I think also we've also got to remember, while I'm not denying what Mark says at all, I think it's a good reading of the situation, but the bond payment is now cannot be missed. It's March the 20th when this bond payment has got to be made, and March the 20th is looming. The heat always goes out of these situations because all of a sudden, instead of posturing and showing off and talking rubbish, people start to look at the situation and start to make some sense out of it. And that's what's happening now. Things will be sorted out by the middle of next month.
And I can't believe the next story. I really can't. As Lee's put the headline...
Just before we go on, can I just talk about this Greek crisis? I have a really major solution for that. Why don't they just go to Wonga.com?
The real perversion of the UK justice, says Lee, a nursery worker who filmed himself raping a three-year-old girl has had his sentence reduced...
Amazing.
Because the judge said the ruling might encourage other paedophiles to admit their crimes.
Yeah. I think this is
what a joke.
Yeah, I think we need to see that he's had a tariff of 15 years, minimum tariff of 15 years, cut by a mere 18 months. So the first thing is that really going to encourage anybody to admit their crimes? I don't think so.
I don't.
But it's such a disgusting, disgusting thing.
Really, that's right.
Minimum 15 years is not even enough.
How could somebody in his position consider, like you say, even down to the fact that he's cut it by such a small amount that that would make any difference at all, but even to consider that it now becomes not acceptable to go and attack a child, but it becomes not quite as bad because you get a little bit of time off for what? Good behaviour?
Well, the judge actually said this man, who I'm not even going to mention, said he deserved credit because he's guilty plea.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we move over to, again in England, UK, this is in Scotland, a more stupidity as a 78-year-old man who was banned from a river in his days as a notorious salmon poacher, which is donkeys years ago. In fact, it was 43 years ago the ban was imposed. Wanted to take his grandchildren on a bona fide fishing trip, and he was banned from doing so.
Well, he was also thrown going to jail.
Yeah. I mean, how ludicrous is... Well...
Well, he nicked a bit of salmon 43 years ago, and now they've still... Who held that in their mind? Who knew he'd been banned for all this time?
The original landowner. The original landowner, whose name apparently is Mr. Patton, age 76, is still carrying this grudge in his heart. But I tell you, there's also, I think, something a bit disturbing, and that is that the access rights to land in Scotland are pretty nasty and pretty antisocial. I can't actually go through and tell you exactly what they are, but I can tell you that the access rights to land in Scotland are very, very tight, very poor compared to what they are in England and Wales.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark, when I first came to Slovakia, it was actually difficult to put a fence up because you were breaking the law and not letting citizens go through it. It was ridiculous. Anyway, moving along to somebody who's just unbelievably honest. I'm shocked, to be quite honest.
Aaron Large, dustbin man of this parish,
from Southend-on-Sea. He discovered a Rolex watch in a drain.
He's actually discovered another one there as well now.
No.
Yeah, he's now, I think, I might be wrong on this, but I think he's definitely found two, and I think he's now found a third one. So it now looks as if somebody stole these watches and dumped them in the drain to come back for them later, and this good, honest dustman has discovered them and like the good egg that he really is, he's taken them to the police and handed them over. That's an honest man.
One of them worth £21,000.
Well, if you take the three, maybe that's 60 grand it's worth. God. And if nobody claims them within the next 30 days, they become his.
Well, I hope he gets them, to be very honest about it as well.
Well, it's time he had a bit of luck.
Yeah. And equally, $9 million worth, can't believe this, I want the job, of jewels were found in a drawer 5 years after they disappeared. The jewels were stolen from the wife of the U.S. ambassador to the Netherlands in 2006 and have been found in Hague. A young lady handed them in. But the interesting thing is, $9 million worth of jewels were worn by the wife of the U.S. ambassador. I want to be a U.S. ambassador.
I want to be a U.S. ambassador's wife.
I think that his wife, who's carrying these jewels, ought to go and talk to the wife of the man who had to leave in order to get a toilet installed in her home.
Well, that's true.
I have to say that I think that these two stories ought to be held up together. There's something very, very nasty and unappealing about one of the stories, and I'll leave you to guess which one it is.
Thank you very much indeed.
And it's not the one about defecating in the street either.
No. One that will please Lee. Journalists should work freely, says the UK Supreme Court. Court, which has rejected an appeal against the BBC's refusal to publish a report into the coverage of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which was back in 2004. The documents were asked under the Freedom of Information Act, and the High Court said no.
Well, that's it. I'm not going to comment on this story because I think Mark will be far more inflammatory than I will be, and I will then attack what Mark says. Over to you, Mark.
Well, you know, I was waiting to decide which way you were going to jump so I could jump the opposite way.
You jump the way you want to jump.
Let me say that, first of all, I'm buzzing with this because what an interesting story. Here we've got that somebody wants the BBC to reveal stuff, and the BBC, of course, itself is in the business of revealing everybody else's information except apparently its own. Okay. Mm. And on one hand, how wonderful to have a press organisation, a media organisation like this, being upheld, it's being rights upheld against interference, for instance, by politicians, which I think is enormously important. Yeah. So, great victory for the BBC, absolutely important. On the other hand, I think that it's important that the public knows if there's bias or not. So, quite frankly, I've really no idea which way to go.
That's exactly how I felt about this story, which is why I passed it over to you. Looked at it and I thought, well, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's exactly the way things should be and how things should be operated and put together. But on the other hand, why has this come up? Why are we talking like this? Why should this be actually a thing that needs consideration? It should just be there.
Yes.
Well, indeed so. Kind of a vote for the BBC, I think, there.
Well, I mean, there's only one
strange
thing to say. We've got the Freedom of Information Act. I mean, let's face it, I mean, at the end of the day, we're a parliamentary democracy. We've got the Freedom of Information Act, which was voted in, and it was high time that it was voted in, because we you know, so many other countries, even the United States has got a kind of Freedom of Information Act. So it's been there, it's part of the democratic process, and the BBC are resisting then the implementation of it.
But there are exemptions in that act, Mark.
There are exemptions, but I've got a sort of a sense, really, that the exemptions were put in as part of a deal to satisfy and to make sure that the act got through.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's something about it I don't like. Just like Lee, there's something about it I like a lot. Mm. And there's something about it
I'm quite
hate.
Sure about yeah. a lot as
okay.
well.
Okay, moving along. Joint army exercises. That's the French, believe it or not, and the English using live ammunition. And the media went potty. They could not get their heads round. And I need to find out why from somebody.
I'll tell you.
Go on then.
No, you tell me the story first, then I'll tell you what the answer is.
The question posed by so many people in the media is, why are they using live ammunition?
Well, I think that's a really good question.
Why?
Well, I'd be very frightened
of
the French man. I don't think they've ever fired live ammunition against anybody, except maybe some collaborators.
Right, gentlemen, have you ever fired live ammunition?
I have.
As in real ammunition?
Why?
Yes.
Not a shotgun, not as in a 12 bore, but as in a proper handgun.
Yeah, go on. I know what you're going to say.
And have you equally fired a dummy round in a similar handgun?
I have.
And there is massive difference between a live round and a dummy round. And when you start talking about the rifles and the velocity that they're using, there is a dramatic difference between a live round and a dummy round. So how are they going to practice using dummy rounds? Because they'll be shooting in the wrong place if they have to.
Yeah, but they could be shooting each other on this, couldn't they? And they could be killing. We could be wiping out our own armies before we even go to war.
Yeah, but it's only the French.
Well, I think that's we'll give all point. The Brits the live ammunition, give all the French the dummy ammunition.
No, being serious for a minute, it was all done under proper sort of military rules and regs. And I just can't get my head around why the media went so nuts about the fact. Well, it's disgusting, they're using live ammunition. Well, what are they going to do, use dummy rounds when some idiot from the Middle East shoots at them?
I think that, quite honestly, I would defend the press for going on about this in the way that they did. Yes, it is. I understand all the logistics of why you're saying and what the army would say and probably did say in the stories as well about why they use live ammunition. The simple fact is it's dangerous, Eric. We are at war all over the world. We're not doing very... Not us, I mean, all like America and us. And,
So wouldn't it be logical to use...
Very well.
Wouldn't it be logical to practice?
Well, you can practice without killing each other.
But you can't practice without live ammunition.
Yeah, but you can practice with live ammunition on shooting ranges and things like that.
Well, that's basically where they were.
Now they were doing war games and exercises. Did you hear that voice then?
Yeah. Anyway, I think it was nuts. Time to face the music, says the UK, because music site rnbexclusive.com has been shut down by the UK's serious organised crime agency, Soccer, for all the nasty... Well, nothing's nuts. They said that the site was using stolen content from the artists and may have damaged careers. Can I just suggest one thing?
Go on.
We had loads of piracy in the satellite industry in the early 90s. Lots and lots and lots of it. It was so prolific. It was a bit of a nightmare. And yours truly was on Radio 4 talking about it. But the truth is, once they'd got their heads around it and Sky actually gave people the most amazing value for money and equally gave people the most amazing value for money compared to everywhere in Europe and still do, funnily enough, the piracy went down. Now, why can't the music industry get their heads around that?
I understand what you're saying, but I can't really see how it can be compared. Music is an artistic form, isn't it? It's an ephemera. It's not something that really is a major business until it becomes quite popular and takes over the world. And here we have people who are undoubtedly stealing the intellectual property and the copyright off people who've gone out on a limb to create something that's special. And this here is just... He's right, isn't it? That the UK's serious organised crime agency should start looking into this and threatening people. This is theft.
But what's the difference between a film and a piece of music?
I don't think there's any difference.
Well, in which case you're agreeing with me, because what happened was the cure to the problem before, because basically it was the films that were the subscription in the early days, and they were the only real subscription thing because you didn't need a card to watch other things in the UK. It was the films that were the issue. By making it very attractive to the consumer, the piracy just fell on the floor. And if you look it up, Lee, you can see it as a fact.
No, I accept what you're saying, but I still think that, these are the sort of arguments we have all the time, and I agree with you entirely on what you're saying. But I do look at the fact that beyond that, there's a cure for it. That's how it happened, and that's how things transpired. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that takes away from this
It doesn't.
The criminality of it.
It doesn't, but we've already mentioned today that Sony, bless them, put the blasted prices of a CD up as an accident, that is just going to drive people to go, well, sod it, I'm going to do some piracy. Of course, and that's
it
the trouble.
That's again, is a company shooting itself in its own foot and getting such major bad publicity because of it.
Okay, moving along. Still got lots of news to get on with this week. Typo thieves find Lee. What's that about?
That's just boring. I don't know why I put it in. It's the most boring story I've ever heard. There's two companies running premium rate telephone lines.
It begs the question, why should you put it in then?
I know, because it's boring. Should we just ignore it?
I suppose so. We'll move on.
I think people just ought to know a little bit.
Yes, go on then.
Well, because there is a lot of money being made by people who register domain names, in other words, the address of internet pages, www, whatever it is, .com or .com.
Don't make it more boring than it is, Mark.
Mark's right.
They register misspellings of this because they realise lots of people in their hurry misspell. They go to the wrong place, but they find them. And when these people get to the wrong site, they think it's the right site. Does it make sense? And they are clicking advertisements. And
yes,
the people who own these domain names lot of money.
Exactly.
It's a dishonest practice.
You will find similar names to Google. I'm not telling you which they are. If you click on them by accident, they are sites which generate money from getting you to click on advertisements because it doesn't actually show you what's going on really. And consumers are being duped.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Still boring.
It's not. It's just stopping. We're protecting consumers, Lee.
Of course, we're protecting consumers, but we're pompously attacking the people before about stealing music, and then I'd say how pompously outrageous this is because it's a typo thieves. Well, it's quite interesting. It's a typographical error that's being used to rip people off. We're being ripped off everywhere we move in this world now because of the internet. This is just another.
Do you know one question I've never had answered from a music executive on this particular subject? And we did it many, many times on the radio in London. And I said to them, well, you know, at that point, because now the law has been changed to sanity, thank God, you were not allowed for right the way up until a couple of years ago, you were not allowed to actually copy any music whatsoever. And if you made a tape of an album and put it in your car, you were breaking the law.
Right.
And I just don't. It was just greed on the side of the record companies that were doing this. And the issue is that people today think, well, it's all right to pop round to my mate's house and I'll do a tape. Well, it's not. It is actually breaking the law, but they're not going into it for commercial value. Yeah. Whereas
it was a bit different, that, though, wasn't it? Because that was you going round to your mate's house in the covertness of his house and his bedroom, right, making a tape of his music.
Mm.
And then sticking it in your car and listening to it by yourself or with whoever happened to be in the car. Mm-hmm. This is mass downloading and stealing of people's
But
people's
what I'm asking
work.
You to understand is I agree with you about the site. Okay, we're agreed. I don't necessarily think that the consumer is familiar with the law to that level where they just think it's a fun thing to do. Whereas these typo sites are set up purposely to attack and defraud the consumer. Yeah. And that's a slightly different thing. And that's the point I'm making, Lee. Yeah.
That's a very good point as well.
And in law, it's called passing off, by the way.
It's passing off. Moving along. Cisco to challenge Microsoft Skype deal in the EU courts, which I find absolutely astounding. Absolutely astounding. Now, to make this sensible, Cisco, which is a massive company, and I've had a lot of dealings with them, and there's some really nice guys in there, offer a service called WebEx, which is free to use for the first 2 weeks. Then you have to buy it.
Yeah. Right.
So they are saying that the Microsoft Skype deal's wrong. They're not offering a similar service to Skype because Skype does it for nothing.
That's a good point, isn't it? That is a really good point. I think Skype is quite amazing, really, in what it does. Yeah. But this doesn't actually replace anything or innovate or make things better, does it?
No, and the fact is that, you know, Cisco are quite rightly within their business model trying to sell things, and that's fine. But don't stand in the way of someone's offering a similar service free of charge.
That's, hey, yeah. That's right, yeah.
And that's what it could be. But what Cisco are saying is they want to make sure there's interoperability between both standards, which is fine, and I agree with that. It should all work together as one. But I've just got this sneaking feeling in the back of my head. Call me cynical if you want, and Cisco have the absolute right to reply and tell me I'm wrong. But it just smacks of, hold on a minute, this is a great excuse to take a pop at Skype, which is actually a consumer tool that people with less money can afford to do, and maybe grandma can stay in touch with grandson several thousand miles away for nothing.
I think Skype really is one of the few things that you can point to and say is a benefit to the world. Facebook isn't a benefit to the world. That's a load of rubbish. And the way it's going, he's absolutely right. But Skype is a good thing because you can have friends on there. You can keep in touch with people. You can show them photographs. You can do what you want. Mm-hmm. Skype is a benefit to the world.
Well, gosh.
It is a benefit to the world. But let me say that it is huge. It's hugely powerful.
Mm-hmm. Of course it is.
It's very difficult to compete with it because there are other services, incidentally, which do similar things.
Google have one of their own.
Well, VoIP actually is
another one. Yeah,
but when you do get that big, then I think that there's nothing wrong with scrutiny.
No, absolutely not. And I think what Cisco should do as a massive company that they are is launch a similar low cost, zero cost product, which they could do, retaining their commercial product as Skype do. Yes. Which you have the option, and going down that route rather than whinging it through the EU, which just drives me nuts.
I think all big organisations need a run for their money, and that's what Cisco could do if they were really interested.
Right. Moving along quickly as we get to the end of part two already. Schools ban LOL. This is teachers introducing the policy to encourage their pupils aged from 11 to 18 years old to only use standard English. Well, that's going to fail on me to begin with, inside the school gates. They don't want them to use phrases such as hiya, cheers. Oh, my God, that's all my emails ruined. And we should say good morning, goodbye or thank you.
I think this is probably the one single thing which stands up for English society and the society of the world too. This is clamping down on what is destroying the English language, destroying literature, destroying the basic intelligence and use of language.
Well,
and they are standing up to say, why LOL, laugh out loud. How asinine is that? And how asinine is it that people will use it rather than say, by George, old chap, that was funny?
Well, LOL soz me mates in work who regularly send me, the one that really, really, really winds me up is somebody who says, you know, hi Lee, blah de blah de blah de blah de blah, thanks Eric. And there is no thanks needed because they've asked a question. Now, if you've asked a question, you don't put thanks behind it because it's grammatically rubbish.
You're anticipating an answer.
Can I tell you, when I was at school, which was a long time ago.
We have schools then. Did you use a slate with chalk?
No, but I'll tell you, when I started, I used to...
10 seconds, Mark.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I used to get in trouble for saying okay.
Well, there
and
you
I
go, then.
Right in position saying, I will not say okay 100 times.
And that's okay. It is the end of part two of Postcard from Pop Brad for another week. We'll see you same place, same channel next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.